Welcome back to the Big Dog Podcast. We're thrilled to join you for the next 8 minutes or so. All right, Lisa, let's get into the meat of this, optimizing your compressed air system when the budget's tight. You know, I always say leaks are like slow money drains. You can run a tidy shop, but if you've got air hissing out under the radar, well, you're basically burning cash, and I'm not talking chump change here. KG says a quarter-inch leak in a 100 PSIG system can waste at least $17,000 a year. That's a vacation fund, or honestly, a brand new compressor in some cases.
It's wild, right? And most folks don't even think about it until they hear that number. The worst part is, a lot of these leaks are just lurking in spots people never check. Like that crusty drain or some neglected filter, regular basics like maintenance on your filters and drains really pay off. Especially for places like semiconductor or healthcare facilities, where stable air supply is, like, non-negotiable. You don't want pressure swings messing with your robotics line or pneumatic controls, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember, this has got to be, what, maybe 6 or 7 years back. I was walking the floor and kept hearing this subtle pfah near one of our old drain valves. Turns out the valve wasn't closing all the way. Fixed it in, like, 10 minutes. But when we ran the numbers, that one little fix ended up saving us a couple grand that quarter. The little stuff really does add up, especially in tight operations.
That's so classic. And don't forget about system pressure. I see operators crank it up for the one tool that needs it, but then the whole system runs high. Lots of wasted energy, unnecessary wear. Best thing is to set your header pressure just high enough for the most demanding application and not a PSI more. Go too high and you're pounding your equipment for no reason.
Yeah, too low and you start getting those callbacks. My tool's not working, but too high and it's just bleeding your utility bill dry. Plus, you're putting extra stress on the whole system. I know it's tempting to play it safe, but optimal pressure is about balance, not overkill.
And regular maintenance is just non-negotiable for filters and drains. A clogged filter or stuck drain doesn't just cost you efficiency, but can snowball into unexpected downtime or even a breakdown. Keeping up those routines goes a long way if you want reliability without shelling out extra every month.
If you take only one thing away from this, it's don't ignore the small stuff, because that's usually where the dollars are leaking out, literally and figuratively. And catching it early on, that's money in your pocket.
So, sticking with the theme of money, let's dig into the big one. Investing smart long-term, the cheapest compressor on the lot? Honestly, it's rarely the best deal. I get it. Everyone loves a good bargain. But those jaw-dropping low prices usually come with gotcha clauses, maintenance contracts, hidden surcharges, and don't even get me started on the warranty fine print.
Yeah, I mean, I've lost count how many times I've seen someone jump on a deal because the sticker price looks sweet, only to find out a year later they're locked in with crazy service fees or stuck hunting for parts that take weeks to arrive. It's a real headache, and you end up paying way more when you zoom out to the total cost over 5 or 10 years.
Yep, it's always the 6 gotchas that turn low sticker prices into high lifetime costs. We talked about this way back when in, what was it, episode 46? Whenever you're signing up for a big spend, you need to look beyond that first number. Ask questions. What's covered under warranty? Are parts easy to get? And am I tied to a service contract that's going to haunt me later?
Exactly. And sometimes it's worth spending a little more upfront for features that make a real difference. Like variable speed drives. Look, if you qualify for utility rebates or incentives, that VSD can pay itself off in a couple years easy. And with 2-stage compressors, plenty of shops have seen quick paybacks purely from energy savings, sometimes in under 3 years. If your system runs steady for long periods, a 2-stage screw is hard to beat for life cycle costs.
Totally. One plant manager told me once, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And, well, they were right. Bottom line, don't get tunnel vision on the upfront cost. Consider things like energy efficiency, routine maintenance, access to expert help. All that stuff can make the difference between a system that's a bargain and one that's a bottomless pit.
Yeah, play the long game. Treat your compressor more like an ongoing investment than a one-off equipment buy, and you'll feel a lot less pain down the road. All right, so we've talked about leaks and costs, but let's get technical. Choosing the right compressor type and, even more importantly, right-sizing everything. Too many times, folks either overbuy or honestly cheap out on the wrong style. So, quick rundown. Centrifugal compressors are like the Ferraris, super efficient at large scale, but out of reach for most small to mid-size budgets. Usually, we're deciding between reciprocating and rotary screw.
And recips have their place. Great for shops with light, intermittent demand, like tire stores or oil change bays. But if you run them too hard, they'll overheat and burn out. Single-stage ones really aren't built for heavy cycling. Then you've got rotary screw units, which are basically the solid, reliable pickup truck of the compressed air world. They run quiet, handle big loads, and last forever if you keep them maintained. In fact, most large-scale manufacturers tend to default to rotary screw just because the performance and warranties are so strong.
Fun fact, belt drive rotary screws are a great option if you're budget-focused but still want backbone and adaptability. Easy to install, quieter than most would guess, and with adjustable output. You just swap a pulley, and you're set for 90 to 175 PSI. Plus, you can get them with an integrated receiver tank and dryer to save space and money. Real workhorses for body shops and mid-sized plants.
And that ties perfectly into right sizing. One trap I see over and over, people buy a bigger compressor for room to grow, but honestly, that just introduces inefficiency and extra wear. Oversized compressors short cycle, burning through more power and parts, not to mention driving up your maintenance bills. I helped a customer last year swap out this massive ancient compressor that rattled half the plant for a right-sized belt drive rotary screw. They got a quieter workspace, lower energy bills, and suddenly had 10 feet of floor space back.
Yeah, that room to grow logic is seductive, but usually ends up costing you. Same goes for piping. If it's undersized, pressure drops sneak in and the compressor just works harder. Always keep your pipe diameter consistent from compressor to end use, or you'll lose more pressure than you'd think. Sometimes upwards of 10-15 PSI, just because of a bad design.
So, the bottom line, pick the type that best fits your actual needs, size everything for now, not some distant maybe expansion, and keep your system balanced. That's compressed air on a budget, done right.
All right, that's a wrap for today. We covered leaks, smart investments, picking the right compressor, and sizing it the sensible way. If you want more, we've got plenty of deep dives in earlier episodes. And as always, Kaishan's got your back if you're looking for expert help.
Couldn't agree more, Jason. And hey, if you've got a thorny compressed air question or a wild budget story, send it our way. We'll see you next time on the Big Dog Podcast.
Later, Lisa. Take care, everyone.
See you, Jason. Thanks for listening, everyone.